This reading is from Luke chapter 20, verses 45 to 47. Whilst all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished more severely."
Hi, it's lovely to be with you. Thanks, Amos, for reading that passage. Jeff has already prayed for us, so let's pitch straight into thinking about it together over the next 15 minutes or so. Please do keep your Bible passage open so that you can follow along as I go. It's page 1056 in my Bible, Luke chapter 20, verses 45 to 47. Let's think about the question, who should we listen to know how to please God? There's any number of people out there, aren't there, on the internet or wherever you look, claiming to tell us what God requires from all manner of different religions. How on earth do we evaluate their claims and decide if we should listen to them? We could look at their popularity. How many followers have they got on YouTube? Their respectability. Are they the kind of people that would get invited onto TV or the BBC? Or we could look at their status. Are they a bishop or a grand ayatollah, perhaps? Or we could think about their religious devotion. How well known are they, looked up to for their good works? Well, the claim of today's passage, which is my point, is that Jesus has supreme authority to judge people standing before God. Jesus has authority to judge people's standing before God. And so we should listen to his word as our authority in how to please God. So Jesus has supreme authority to judge people standing before God. The story in our Bible passage took place in Jerusalem in the 30s AD. And we heard that it's a conflict between Jesus and the teachers of the law, who are the religious authorities at the time in Israel. They're the kind of people that, just in the same way that the Prime Minister would phone up the Archbishop of Canterbury if he wanted to do God, the teachers of the law were the people that he phoned up if he wanted to do God. They were the official and the respected guys. And in today's passage, we heard one of Jesus's most direct attacks on the teachers of the law in the Gospel. We're told in verse 35, that it took place while all the people were listening. That is, it's a very public attack. And the substance of Jesus's attack is threefold. Firstly, in verse 46, he says, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes." This could mean either they love their status. Teachers of the law wore special flowing robes to mark them out as such. Or it could simply mean that they liked everyone to see that they were keeping the dress code that God had laid out in the Old Testament. They were good at keeping God's rules. Jesus goes on, they loved to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They loved approval, not just within God's people, but also in the world at large, the ordinary world of marketplaces and business. They love the most important seats in the synagogue, Jesus says. That is, that they love to have status and position within God's people. And they love the places of honor at banquets. That is, they love to have status within the national life of Israel at the time. So they love all these things. And yet Jesus goes on to say in verse 47, they devour widows' houses. In other words, they prosper at the expense of the most vulnerable. In the society of Jesus' day, with no welfare state, and no opportunity for widows to work. They were among the most vulnerable, dependent on friends and family, and their generosity to survive. So the teachers of the law devour widows' houses. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 47 that they for a show make lengthy prayers. In other words, their relationship to God is just a pretense. Their prayers are not what prayer really is, which is just talking to God as Father. But actually their prayers are a show to make people think that they know God really well, when in fact they don't know him at all. And so the final part of his attack, verse 47, these men will be punished most severely. Now, we all make judgments about people all the time, don't we? Most of us would accept, though, that our judgment is at best flawed and fallible. Think about some of the terrible scandals that have affected even the Christian church over recent decades, like the abuse of children. I take it that most people were completely deceived by those perpetrators when they were put in positions of power and trust in the church. Our judgment is so imperfect. But more than that, we can't see into people's hearts. So few of us would dare make a final judgment about people's standing with God. And if we do, then we ought not to. But here, Jesus is claiming this authority to be able to see into the hearts of these leaders and say what they're truly like. After all, who can really tell if a person's prayers are for show? And yet that's what Jesus says about the teachers of the law. And who can foretell what God will do to a person because of the heart attitude they have towards him? And yet that's what Jesus does in this passage, foretelling that the teachers of the law will be punished most severely. Which, if it wasn't fulfilled in 70 AD, which a few decades later, the temple would be completely destroyed by the Romans, then it will be fulfilled at the final judgment. But why should we listen to Jesus? How do we know that he's not just another person attacking their opponents to gain more power for themselves? Well, because Jesus is the exact opposite of the hypocrisy that he condemns here. Read the Gospel of Luke and you'll see that Jesus never did things for popularity, status, or respectability, as he accuses the teachers of the law here. Soon after this passage, he would die for what he taught, staying true to the end, though abandoned by all his disciples. Jesus never did anything at the expense of the most vulnerable. On the contrary, he went out of his way to reach out to those who others thought were too poor, too unimportant, too ill, or too sinful. Jesus is often portrayed in Luke's gospel as going to pray in private and not for show. And ultimately, because Jesus always lived in a way which was pleasing to God, God reversed our condemnation of him. God raised him from the dead and set him in charge of everything. Jesus really does have supreme authority to judge people standing before God. That's what this passage shows. And so in light of that, we should hold his word as our authority in how to please God. Luke's first readers were probably hearing this account in the 60s AD, when the temple in Jerusalem was still standing, and the teachers in the law were still looked up to as the go-to people for how to please God. But they had rejected Jesus. So what were Jesus' first followers to do? Would they be seduced into joining them or silenced by their opposition? Luke wrote his book so that his readers would be certain that Jesus really is the promised Christ, the Son of God, that the whole of history and the Old Testament was pointing to. And though when he was writing, Jesus had ascended into heaven and was no longer physically with them, he truly was and is reigning from heaven, in spite of the continued rejection of him by the teachers of the law in Jerusalem. Luke wrote his book so that the first Christians would be certain that they really should be listening to what Jesus says about how to please God, and not to the teachers of the law. And so that means for us today that we should be certain that God wants us to listen to Jesus above everyone else in how to please God. There are many other religions which don't accept Jesus' supreme authority as the Son of God. No matter how popular, how respectable, how honoured they are, God wants us to listen to Jesus as to know how to please him. We listen to Jesus through listening to the Bible, which tells us that the only way to be right with God is not through our own efforts, but through trusting in Jesus. Jesus, who died to take the punishment we deserve and rose again and offers to share our eternal life with his eternal life with us as a free gift, if we'll have him as our Lord and Saviour. This passage isn't saying that every non-Christian religious leader exploits the most vulnerable and is faking it when they pray. But it is safe to say that in every system, every religious system where Jesus is not honoured as supreme Lord and Saviour, we will find oppression of the most vulnerable and will find a broken relationship with God. And that's not necessarily to do with any particular religion. It's just because that's what the Bible says. All human hearts are like by nature, yours and mine. Our hearts by nature are deserving of punishment. And yet the wonder of Jesus and his message, his gospel, is that because of what he has done, we can truly start to have a relationship with God. And we can truly start to treat others as we really should. We also need to hold Jesus' word as the authority in how to please God in the Christian community. And that should go without saying. But just because someone owns the name of Christ, has a Bible and talks about Jesus, just because they're popular, successful and respectable, doesn't mean that their heart is right before God. Now, thank God that in our world and in the UK, there are many Christians who do listen to Jesus as their supreme authority. And at the same time, they're people who are popular, honoured and respected. It's great, isn't it, that there are still some Church of England bishops. There are other well-known Christians who appear on our TVs and our screens and on the internet who are like this. Because it's not that being seen as good or having status or having popularity or being honoured are in themselves bad things. On the contrary, actually, they're good things, aren't they? But it's when they become more important to a person than listening to what Jesus says that they become a problem. So whenever we're listening to someone, we should be trying to discern above all, are they looking to Jesus and his word, the Bible, as their supreme authority? And I hope you're doing that as you listen to me now. And finally, from this passage, let's pray, if we're Christians here listening to this, that we will have Jesus as the supreme authority in our lives, that we will keep trusting his wonderful word and his wonderful gospel message that gives us right relationship with God and a hope and a future, and flowing from that right relationship with others, that we'll love Jesus' approval more than being seen as good by others or popular by others or having high status with others. Lest we start to follow the example of these religious leaders who had fallen into oppressing the most vulnerable and fallen into harming their relationship with God. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, then please do that today. Please see that he is the supreme authority in what pleases God. He is the one person to listen to be right with God, both now and in all eternity. I've got a couple of questions it might be helpful for us to think about and possibly to discuss later. Firstly, are you persuaded that Jesus has supreme authority to judge our standing before God? And secondly, how do we work out who to listen to know how to please God? But for now, let me close with a prayer. Let's bow our heads and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to trust that Jesus is the supreme authority in what pleases you. And so please help us to hold his word as supreme in our lives. Thank you for his wonderful gospel that spares us from the punishment we deserve for not treating you and not treating others the way that we should, and gives us forgiveness, a hope, and a future. Please spare us from being led astray by popularity and success at the expense of listening to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.